You're listening to Art House Radio, an Everything Arts podcast and an Art House 43 production. Visit arthouse43.com.
Welcome to Art House Radio, friends. I'm your host, Troy Ramos. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. On this episode, we'll look at magnification, looking at artworks, their concepts as well, and magnification relating to life in general, the different viewpoints of what this is. We'll also listen to a clip of Alan Watts talking about this very idea of perspectives. It's artwork and life from close up and afar, and Alan Watts, now on Art House Radio. Some of the following is taken from How the Pioneers of Pointillism Continued to Influence Artists Today, an article by Emma Taggart on mymodernmet.com. In the late 1800s, neo-impressionist painters George Seurat and Paul Signac gave birth to pointillism, a painting technique that was revolutionary at the time. In this period, artists were looking for new ways to make impressions of landscapes. But Seurat and Signac grew tired of traditional approaches to painting, and so the two turned to science for inspiration, discovering how to trick the eye into seeing more in a painting than the sum of its parts, an arrangement of colored dots. Pointillism is a painting technique with distinct dots of color, meticulously applied in patterns to compose a cohesive image. Leading Impressionists Claude Monet and Vincent van Gogh often employed small dabs or strokes of paint in their works, but in pointillism, artists took this idea even a step further by painting tightly packed, individual dots of pure color. When viewed from afar, the viewer's mind and eye blur the dots together to create detailed images, comprising a fuller image or range of tones than the dots provide alone. The term pointillism was in fact coined by art critics in the late 1800s to ridicule the works of these artists. Little did they know the term would be used today as a positive association for some of the world's most renowned master painters. This criticism might be what we call historical magnification. That is, these critics were so magnified on their own little dot in time that they failed to see the bigger picture. They were unable to see something greater than this little pinprick in time. If they had pulled back and tried to understand how different sets of eyes and brains would look at this art technique, whichever art technique, or any dot related to life for that matter, then maybe this would have led these critics to a more open-minded conclusion. Quite often we all take this magnified view as gospel, don't we? We forget that a tiny element of this world, of ourselves, is really just one small dot in a larger picture of millions and billions of dots. And sometimes we let those single dots hurt us. A bad day, an unpaid bill, a shitty remark by a person being thoughtless, or even the direction of our lives. Where am I going? Why aren't I there yet? How did I get here? Do I really know what I'm trying to do? And should I really trust myself to get to where I want to go, even if where I want to go will lead me back to right here, right now? This idea of magnification and the pointillism metaphor are lead-ins to this idea. What if it all makes sense? Quote, maybe when you take a myopic view of yourself, as most of us do, you may add up to some kind of sense that is not apparent to you in your ordinary consciousness, as Alan Watts said. I'm pretty open about my occasional belief that I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes, truth be told, that attitude is what saves me from the pressure I might put on myself. But one thing I am pretty terrible at is holding stern criticism of myself from the microscopic perspective. I am very hard on myself about where I am in my life support artist career, for example. I'm so harsh and critical, and I often can't see the forest for the trees. What if James Turrell had my life? What if I let Bruce Nauman or Jenny Holzer take over my life right now? How long would it take them to leave their service industry job and get health insurance? These are questions I say to myself all the time, and I don't know why, other than the idea that I'm totally behaving like these pointillism critics, oblivious or unappreciative of the bigger picture. That's why I think it's so important to interact with people in life who will wake you up to your single dot perspective. Pull back, bitch, back it up, your wise friend will say. See what all these dots say, not just the one you're currently stuck on. And they're right, of course. It might be wise to be present, be here now, as Ram Dass would say. But when we feel stuck on a dot perhaps being a day or a week or a year or a moment, maybe it's better in those times to ditch Ram Dass and his be here now, which he broadcasts live from his Hawaiian vacation home, and embrace the larger picture of be there tomorrow. My friends, when I stumble upon those dark times, I often turn to the master of thought, Alan Watts. Do you have any idea how many great lectures of his are out there? Tons! It's a never-ending stream of 1.21 gigawatts flowing through the internet and, perhaps because of this podcast, into your mind's bloodstream. So let's pump some of that old black dragon into your veins now, shall we? Since we're talking about magnification and life making sense. This clip is from an Alan Watts lecture titled, It All Makes Sense. It's only about 4 minutes long, but its impact could last a lifetime. Remember, you can follow us everywhere at ArtHouse43 and drop us a line at arthouse43.com. And of course, I would be an idiot not to mention my latest project, a new sound and light installation called Connections. It will premiere on March 1st at Art Hop in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can support the project and read all the details of needed support at gofundme.com/arthopconnections. And it's happening. The new album. It's called Rumble. It's on pre-sale at troyramos.bandcamp.com. That's troyramos.bandcamp.com. It officially releases on February 14th, the Day of Love, so show your love now, and pre-order a Rumble at troyramos.bandcamp.com. If when you do that, you'll get a sneak peek track. It's an album of industrial ambient sound. That's my new category, industrial ambient. Tell your friends. It's still my usual ambient qualities, but with a twist. I recorded sounds at factories and on buses, Battle Creek factories and buses in Lansing that I would ride on and record just the sounds around me, chop things up, feed them into my normal creative process, and voila, Rumble was born. Check it out. Let me know what you think of the cover art, too. I've been having a blast designing and redesigning my album covers. It's the closest I'll ever get to being a painter, and I love it. It's great fun. Okay, enough with the chatter. Let's get to the main feature. This is Alan Watts, my pal Alan Watts, telling you it all makes sense. Enjoy.
Now, we come here right at the start to an extremely important principle, which is the different points of view you get when you change your level of magnification. That is to say, you can look at something with a microscope and see it a certain way. You can look at it with the naked eye and see it in a certain way. You look at it with a telescope and you see it in another way. Now, which level of magnification is the correct one? Well, obviously, they're all correct. They're just different points of view. You can, for example, look at a newspaper photograph under a magnifying glass, and where with the naked eye you will see a human face, with the magnifying glass you will just see a profusion of dots, rather meaninglessly scattered. But as you stand away from that connection of dots, which all seem to be separate and apart from each other, they suddenly arrange themselves into a pattern. And you see that these individual dots add up to some kind of sense. Now you'll see at once from this illustration that maybe you, when you take a myopic view of yourself, as most of us do, but you may add up to some kind of sense that is not apparent to you in your ordinary consciousness. When we examine our bloodstreams under a microscope, we see there's one hell of a fight going on. All sorts of microorganisms are chewing each other up. And if we got overly fascinated with our view of our own bloodstreams in the microscope, we should start taking sides, which would be fatal, because the health of our organism depends on the continuance of this battle. What is, in other words, conflict at one level of magnification is harmony at a higher level. Now, could it possibly be, therefore, that we, with all our problems, conflicts, neuroses, sicknesses, political outrages, wars, tortures, and everything that goes on in human life, are a state of conflict which can be seen in a larger perspective as a situation of harmony? Well, it is claimed, you see, that some human beings have broken through to that vision, that they've slipped somehow or other into states of consciousness where they see the apparent disintegration and disorganization of everyday life as the functioning of a totality which at its level is completely harmonious. And you can say, aha, at last I see, I got the point. I've seen how all this makes sense.